Chapter 4. Before she'd docked the ship at Vashka Station, Ori was ready and fidgeting. He sat in his chair, leaning forward and dripping sweat, fingers tapping against his bag. Even though he hadn't known where they were headed until the planet was impossible to avoid seeing, now it was clear that he didn't want to go at all. Bazine pointed at his hands. Rule one, don't act worried. People only look worried when they're scared or doing something wrong. He swallowed audibly, nodded, and stopped the tapping. That's better. At least considering where we're going and what we're doing, they'll expect you to seem a little scared. Still, at this rate, he was never going to be spy material for Clodagh's purposes. He might have the fists and the brains, but he didn't have the confidence and self-control. On her first mission, Bazine had been cool as ice. And yes, well, that one had gotten out of hand and ended up with her on fire and covered in blood, but she'd succeeded. And by her second mission, once she'd healed, she'd been even colder. Ori, on the other hand, was sweating like they were back on Choctaw, and it wasn't just because he was from Pantora and accustomed to freezing temperatures. "Let's go over it again," she said, calmly entering in fake docking codes. As he recited the plan, she brought the Sparrowhawk down with steady hands. Vashka was a boring but lovely planet, a temperate place of lush green valleys, misty purple mountains, quiet seaside towns, and this one big, disturbingly tidy city. It was where people both rich and poor went to retire in relative ease, and where folks were sent to convalesce so their employers or family could feel they were recovering or dying in peace and comfort, out of sight and out of mind. The New Republic offered privatized care for their old or injured troopers in the Outer Rim, and one of those firms had purchased wide swaths of Vashka for treatment centers. And that's why they were headed to...
"There it is. Vashka City Med Center 1. Biggest med center on the planet and site of the main server room,"
Ori said, pointing at the tall white spire.
"I know. That part's easy. It's the getting in and getting out that worries me."
"You do your part and I'll do mine." Bazine held up a syringe and gave him a too bright smile to match her disguise. A bouncy blonde wig, gold lips and eyeshadow, and the kind of outfit girls wore on safe, New Republic-controlled cities when they wanted to show off.
"You're even more terrifying now,"
Ori said, wiping his palms on his pants.
"Can we please get this over with?"
"We're going to make a minor detour first. Just act normal." She watched him for a moment, noticing his dilated eyes and shaking hands. "Normal for someone not about to have a heart attack, that is." They headed down the ramp, and Bazine put an extra bounce in her step. Ori stopped to watch the ramp close behind them and had to jog to catch up with her.
"Walk casual," she whispered. "We're just in town to visit my grandmother. She was a fearsome stormtrooper. She doesn't approve of our relationship."
Ori hiccuped a laugh, and Bazine wound her arm through his and turned a sharp corner.
"The med center is over there," Ori said, pointing.
"But we're looking for people dealing in the black market, remember? This way,"
she answered, guiding him down a series of increasingly darker alleys.
"See those graffiti symbols?"
As they walked, she explained what the different symbols meant and how to avoid areas under control of street gangs in favor of common ground. She gave him pointers on posture and what to say to anyone who challenged him, how to ride that fine line between belonging on the streets and asking for a fight. He nodded along, asked the right questions, and listened carefully as she inquired about the new Baffleweave technology with a shady Toydarian, and drove a tough bargain on a slightly ripped shirt patterned in gray and black. She couldn't help noticing his smirk as she threatened to gut the merchant if his goods proved to be counterfeit.
"That was thoroughly informative,"
he said as they returned to the main roads of Vashka City.
"And impressive."
Bazine tugged on the sleeves of her new shirt and grinned.
"That's the only compliment I'll accept."
The main med center was easy to find. It was one of the tallest and most prominent buildings in the city, painted gleaming white with the universal red sigil beaming from the top in neon. Ori was walking too purposefully and quickly toward it, though, and Basine had to constantly stop to window shop or arrange her hair as a ploy to slow him down. She was pleased to find that the baffle weave did its job. Each time she stood in front of a shop's cam, the feed showed Ori and a slight waver where she should have appeared. But first, she needed to be seen and recorded, so she pulled the shirt off over her head, folded it down to a tiny square, and stuffed it in her purse. "Getting hot out," she said brightly when Ori gave her a questioning stare. When they were just a few blocks away from the med center, Basine stopped at a corner and pretended to read a menu. "Fancy some Nerf steaks and fine Corellian wine, lover?" she asked. Ori looked at her like she'd lost her mind.
"What? Now?"
Giving him a grin, she whisked the syringe out of her pocket, bit off the cap, stabbed herself in the meat of her thigh, and tossed the needle down the nearest storm drain. Within seconds, she groaned and collapsed. Ori barely managed to catch her and help her fall inelegantly to the ground. Her muscles went tense, her head thrown back and the cords of her neck standing out.
"Help!"
Ori shouted, looking frantically around the busy corner.
"Help us! I don't know what's wrong!"
They were soon surrounded by concerned octogenarian passersby. An ambulance wailed in the distance, barreling toward them with red lights flashing. Basine was shaking now, teeth clenched in what looked like a seizure, as Ori knelt at her side, acting perfectly helpless and properly scared. A human in a gleaming white uniform leapt out, a white and silver GH-8 medical droid hovering by her side.
"What's wrong?"
the woman asked as the droid scanned Basine's body. Ori shook his head.
"I don't know. We were going to get lunch and she just collapsed. What is it?"
"Unidentified substance,"
the droid said in a calm voice.
"Immediate chelation and fluid replacement is recommended."
The human nodded and pulled a gurney out of the hovering ambulance.
"You can ride in back,"
she said to Ori, who stood and continued to be useless. Together, the woman and the droid lifted Basine's stiff body onto the gurney and slid it into the waiting vehicle. Ori climbed in to sit on the bench beside her, one hand on the gurney, but definitely not close to touching Basine, as if he was terrified of her even when she appeared to be dying. The ride was oddly calm and strangely fast. Moments later, they slipped down a ramp and into the cool underbelly of the med center. The back door opened and they were engulfed in a flurry of noise, sound, and metal. The gurney zoomed down the hall as a trio of medical droids floated beside it, anchored to the rails and performing various tests. Ori jogged alongside, watching as Basine's body shook and shivered.
"Was this person exposed to any toxic chemicals or unusual foodstuffs?"
a droid asked.
"No,"
Ori said, slightly out of breath as they caromed down twisting hallways.
"She just fell over."
"No identiship,"
said one droid.
"This is highly unusual,"
another droid remarked in almost the same voice.
"Sorry for the inconvenience,"
Ori shot back. Basine's body seized, and her hand smacked hard against Ori's wrist. They were passing by the main reception area and its computer banks, which he should have known, because he was supposed to be watching for it instead of watching her. She had purposefully neglected to tell him that she would remain conscious and of sound mind while the chemicals made her body spasm, but the tap got his attention. He looked up, looked back at Basine, and nodded.
"I think I'm going to vomit,"
he said, one hand over his mouth.
"I'll come find you."
As he hurried back down the hall, a droid called out a room number, but Ori was already gone. The shot wasn't wearing off as quickly as Basine would have liked, and she was frustrated to feel so out of control. The best she could do was to use what little physical focus she had to kick or smack every instrument one of the droids extended toward her as they took a lift up to the patient area. The gurney pulled smoothly into a private room, all white with bright, warm lights, and the door whooshed shut behind them. When one of the droids murmured,
"Restraints are necessary,"
Basine felt the last of the chemical effect drain away. Her body was back under her command. "Not today," she said, sitting up suddenly. Before the droids could react, she'd risen to standing, snatched a scalpel off a droid's med tray, cartwheeled one-handed off the gurney, pressed the door button, and slipped outside, leaving the droids with no ident information whatsoever. They were programmed to heal, not to hunt or even doubt. She pulled on the baffle weave shirt and walked down the hall like a normal, unhurried med center visitor. While Ori had paid little attention to the med center's layout, Bazine had studied it well. She was supposed to find the nearest exit and return to the Sparrowhawk taking a circuitous route. But she didn't do that. Instead, she palmed the scalpel and retraced the gurney's path, heading for the same bank of computers that Ori was supposed to find. On the one hand, she didn't trust him to get out of the building alive and unidentified. On the other, if he was Narglatch, he might take the files on TK-1472 and beat her to the target using information she couldn't get on her own. She made a mental note. Learn how to slice on my own. On the lift back down to the main level, two doctors and a med droid stepped in with her, and she gave a shy smile and looked away, playing with her blonde wig. One doctor smiled back, which made the other doctor frown. While the lift cheerfully binged, she amused herself by calculating the quickest way to kill them both and take out the droid before the door slid open. Not that she would do that. It was simply the way her mind worked, thanks to Clota's teaching. She was the first one out on her floor, and the drone of the servers and cheerful voices of the protocol droid receptionists told her she was near her goal. Creeping around the corner, she watched administrators and nurses typing at the registration terminal as if it were a giant animal in need of constant feeding and cleaning. The humanoid men and women in their loose white jumpsuits and caps paid no attention to the seemingly bored blonde girl in the loudly patterned shirt walking around the high-ceilinged hall with all the other patients and visitors. She saw no sign of Ori in the area, and that's when she began to suspect the worst. He should have been there, poking around, doing his magic. But he wasn't. "Where are you?" she whispered into her wrist comlink. No response. "Answer me." Still nothing. "I don't care where you are or what you're doing. Make a noise. Heavy breathing, I don't care." When he didn't respond, she nearly punched a hole in the closest wall. There was a possibility that he was lost in the labyrinthine depths or heights of the 50-story building or behind a comm-blocking area, especially considering how he'd almost jogged right past the massive terminal the first time. And there was also a possibility that he'd already done his work and fled, leaving her high and dry, or that he was waiting for her at the Sparrowhawk with the intel. He might be in flex cuffs, being shipped off for questioning after someone noticed his poor excuse for sneaking. But the one place he wasn't was here, where he was supposed to be, and the fact that he wasn't responding on his comm link couldn't be a coincidence. And that meant Bazine had a decision to make. Swearing under her breath, she pulled a dastardly computer spike disruptor out of her pocket and leaned against the solid sea-green painted counter. With precise timing, to ensure that no one would see her, she stabbed the metal instrument deep into the wall of the nearest computer terminal, then immediately withdrew it. As the first administrator muttered a curse, she disappeared. The spike's jolt would spread, and the whole system would be down for at least an hour, possibly longer. Tech droids would soon be swarming the area, probing every chip. No one else would access records today. If she couldn't get what she needed, no one would. Bazine was back on the street and headed for the spaceport and the Sparrowhawk before the alarms began to ring.